Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, anytime you lose a game 6-2 and the other team's goaltender is the number one star, leads me to believe that you had your chances, but tonight the Blackhawks couldn't capitalize on them as they suffer their 18th consecutive road loss. The road woes continue, but it's back to work tomorrow as the Hawks will take on a red-hot Edmonton Oilers. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show here on 720 WGN. Our pal Troy Murray is over at the Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, and surprisingly enough, he did not exceed his word limit, even if he was dawdling all throughout the end of John's monologue before we started the postgame show. Bravo, Troy, on finally getting it over this way. But
I wasn't saying anything.
You were doing a great job of doing that.
I stopped talking.
Just like now, right?
Just like now. I'm not going to say, like, whatever, you know, just get to your questions. I'm going to stop talking, and I'll wait for your questions, okay. And I'll start answering them.
Right, right. So, Troy.
Joe?
One of the things you brought up is exactly what I just said. Joey Decord, the number one star. When the Seattle Kraken win this game 6-2, the Hawks had their chances. That we've talked so much about the offense just not quite being there. That's exactly what it was tonight. It just wasn't quite there. It was there, but it wasn't quite there. Now you're out with a loss for words.
Oh, okay. they had chances.
Now you can go ahead.
Yeah, no, they had chances, and I feel bad for them. And I'm kind of laughing because, you know, what else are you going to do? I mean, in this situation, they've lost 18 straight in a row on the road here. But the effort was there. They had chances. Decord was excellent in this game. And, you know, at the end of the game, a lot of times, just in your mind or, you know, black and white like it was in this game tonight, that it, you know, one goaltender was better than the other. And Soderblom has struggled with his confidence. He didn't look solid. I mean, he was, you know, I thought he was scrambly in this game. And at the other end of the ice, Decord was great. And, you know, you have the chances. You don't have the pure snipers in the lineup. And if you have those guys, maybe they find a way to score on Decord. But the Hawks had chances. They peppered them. They had 36 shots on goal, 35. They took one away. So 35 shots on goal. They did what they needed to do to create opportunities. There was lots of traffic around the front of the net. They worked the puck around. They did get a Sitko power play goal, and they had some really good looks, which will be, you know, one thing that I think they can build on with a positive note. But this was a game where one goaltender came up with the big saves at the right time and some bad breaks for Soderblom, no doubt about it. One off the skate of
Vlasic
that goes off his skate, then goes off the skate of Soderblom. But I thought that his positioning was a little bit off there and maybe not quite ready to you know, it wasn't quite alert, and you always got to be alert. The other one went off on Jaden Schwartz's shin pad when Vlasic was pinning him up against the near post or the far post from where the shot came from, went off his shin pad in the net. You know, you can't really fault the goaltender for that, but he just needed to come up with the big save. It's a couple critical moments of this game, and just not able to do that. And for the Blackhawks, they needed to score the big goal at the critical moments, and they didn't do that, but give credit to Decord.
One of the most critical moments, I think, was the near breakaway for Ryan Donato, and then Decord with the big save, and then it turns into a Tomas Tatar breakaway that turns into a goal for Seattle and a 5-2 lead for the Kraken. I ask this because I'm curious. I'm not trying to criticize anyone's game, but Rem Pitlick feeding the puck to Ryan Donato on the breakaway, Pitlick just kind of gives away after that. It could have been a 2-on-0. Is that something where he needs to kind of create a distraction or at least another option for Donato, or is that too much thinking on it?
No, Pitlick kind of had it and just, you know, he shot it up there. He wasn't going to be able to join in the 2-on-0, and Donato looked over his shoulder to see where Pitlick was and also to see where the pressure was coming from. He saw that he was in all alone. So, you know, there really wasn't an option in my mind for him to jump up in that play. He was a little bit flat-footed there, had to make the play up to Donato, who had a full head of steam. He goes in there, and he goes to the back end on the deke, and DeCord gets his pad up there, knocks it past, and then goes in behind the net. But I think the Blackhawks, what happened on that play is they were all kind of, you know, you kind of just tend to drift towards the offensive end, and you're watching the guy go in on the breakaway, and all of a sudden you turn around and say, oh, he didn't score. Well, where's my guy? Well, Tatar was at the far blue line there, picks up a pass in full stride, and he goes in, and he scores. You know, and right there, you're right. I mean, it's a huge moment in the game. The Blackhawks got back within two. If they score on that one, it's 4-3. Now you're putting Seattle, who's lost three in a row or four in a row, and really looking to find a way to win some games here to get back into the playoff hunt. That would have put a lot of pressure on them. He makes the big save. Tatar goes down, and he beats Soderblom. Soderblom didn't come up with that big save, and that was a critical moment of the game.
Yeah, Tatar said ta-ta and just went away and went away with the puck.
Wait a minute.
We'll clip that and we'll email it to you so you can listen to it on the plane ride home, just over and over again.
I'm gonna be rolling on the floor here. Just give me a second here to compose myself.
You know, you've been setting the bar so high tonight. I'm just trying to catch up, and you make it really complicated. Troy,
this could be the Skittles.
It's just on a sugar rush. It's late. You might need that.
Yeah, let's go. Hey, Spike, come on, let's go. Where do you want to go? Let's go to Edmonton. That's very
similar to your Darren Pang impression. All right.
The little fella was between the benches tonight.
He caught a puck today, right at the beginning of the broadcast.
Yeah, it went right over his head.
So it wasn't that high then, is what you're saying.
No, it was board level.
All right, Troy, I know you got to go. Because the Hawks have to go, because there's a game tomorrow. That's one good thing, right? That there's a quick turnaround for this team, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing, but the bad thing is it's the hottest team in the NHL.
True.
And you've lost 18 in a row on the road. They've had the effort there. They played well against the Edmonton Oilers when they were in the United Center, so I think that's going to get the attention of the Oilers tomorrow. I think since that game, that was the game where I think they really took off. And they held them to 15 shots in that game in the Connor McDavid era. That's the lowest shot total that Edmonton has ever had since McDavid has been in the league. So they did an excellent job, and they're going to have that same type of focus and really, really, you know, tighten things down. You can't give the Edmonton Oilers some of the chances that you gave Seattle tonight, because they've got more firepower in their arsenal than Seattle does, and Seattle racked up some pretty good shots and you know, scored enough goals here to win the game going away.
Well, I imagine the Hawks are eager to get that one started and hopefully ride some type of momentum, because there's a little bit of momentum here. It's not quite enough to take down these teams, but there is some momentum with this team right now.
They're doing a lot of things right, and I don't want to get too critical on Soderblom, but he didn't have a good game. Just didn't look comfortable all night long, and I think that's going to be a struggle for him, because he's got to find a way to get his game back there. They've given him lots of opportunities to work with Jimmy Waite and do some video sessions, see what's going on, and I just think that he's a little bit, like Lucas Reichel, just a little bit lacking his confidence right now. And even though he had some good efforts there, not getting rewarded for it, and then some bad breaks. And when you're a goaltender, you get bad breaks. You have to have that short memory. But for Soderblom, trying to find a way to win some games to help this team out the way that he wants to, it's been a struggle.
All right, Troy, great stuff. I know you got to get out of there, so ta-ta, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're killing me, Smalls. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll see you, Troy.
All right. Bye-bye.
That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight after this 6-2 loss to the Seattle Kraken. It's a late-night game, but we've got actually a rushed post-game show tonight because of the national broadcast. Do want to get to a lot, though. No, it was not a great game for Arvid Soderblom. Yes, he did hit some rough luck, but I don't think that explains his overall game. Really excited to see how Lucas Reichel will respond if he's in the lineup tomorrow. And also, I do think that there is some momentum that this team is starting to gain. It's not perfect. It's not exactly what they need, but there are some numbers that do lead us to believe that some things are going right for this team right now. We'll tell you about those numbers. We'll also give you our numbers so you can call or text us, 312-981-7200. Already getting some texts in, and looks like we're getting some post-game sound as well. But we got to get to a break. Hawks fall to the Kraken 6-2. This is the Blackhawks post-game show, 720 WGN.
Now the Kraken attack. Tatara breakaway. Hawks on shoots and scores. They come close at one end. They score at the other end, and the Kraken now lead this game 5-2.
A kind of a game-defining goal there. Right before Tomas Tatar made it 5-2 Seattle, Ryan Donato had a breakaway opportunity. That would have brought the Hawks within one goal, but he was stopped by Joey Decord. Seattle comes down the other way. They make it a three-goal lead just like that, and eventually a 6-2 victory for the Kraken over the Blackhawks. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks post-game show. We're taking you up to 12:30 this morning here on 720 WGN. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts, 312-981-7200. Our guy Devin in Palos Hills wants to talk about the defense. Go ahead, Devin. You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just looking at the goals that Soderblom gave up tonight, and it seems like there's a common trend of the Blackhawks failing to get in the way of passes or shots. And I'm not, you know, blaming this fully on the defense, and I'm not blaming this on Soderblom either. Soderblom did give up, you know, that last goal, that his rebound control, you know, on, in full effect right there. But it seemed like on the Tanev goal, you know, Philip Kurashev could have gotten in front of the pass. You know, you can't let cross-ice passes through. And just overall, I felt like the defense seemed lackadaisical out there compared to the offense. And I think that was a big reason why Soderblom had a bad game. So I'm going to point the finger more at the defense tonight than I would at the offense, because it just seemed like that was the issue tonight. It was honestly pretty frustrating to watch.
All right, Devin in Palos Hills, thank you very much. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. You can call or you could text. A lot of points there, Devin, and some good ones too. Kind of interesting that you bring up that you felt the defense was a little bit more lackadaisical than the offense. I think I'd have to agree with you there. I mean, again, the Hawks had 35 shots on goal in this one. The offense was motivated. They were eager to get something going. I mean, a few times they just missed. In the first period, they had a couple of real close calls. Nick Foligno had the wide-open net in the second period. So there were a lot of chances. We just talked about the Ryan Donato breakaway. But I do think giving up six goals tonight, there's enough blame to go around. You can blame the goaltender. You can blame the defense. You can blame bad luck, because that was involved too. It's not the reason why the Hawks lost by four goals, but it definitely was a factor. You brought up the Brandon Tanev goal. I'm going to disagree with you there. I think that was maybe the ugliest goal given up by Soderblom, and I'm just trying to think of. It's tough because again there were a lot, but the cross ice pass, Soderblom just wasn't on top of the pass. Believe me, I'm not an NHL player. I never will be. To me, if you're a goaltender in that situation, you got to follow along with the pass. He didn't move from post to post until Tanev's shot was off. When that pass is going across ice, whether or not Philip Kurashev needs to break it up, I would think the goaltender would be following along with the puck, so he's a better read on it. Also, Tanev got that puck on edge. I mean, he did not connect on it fluidly. It came tumbling in, and it just found the right spot to the left of Soderblom's skate, and just right before the post. So it was a kind of a perfect situation for Seattle, but also I think Soderblom could have read the pass better, and we're not even talking about Philip Kurashev getting in the middle of that. But overall, yeah, I mean, of course the defense could do a better job. The offense could do a better job too. But breaking up passes and shots, I mean, the Hawks had 18 blocked shots tonight. Seattle had 29 shots on goal. And I can't do the math quickly enough in my head. But anyway, 18 block shots for the Hawks, 17 for the Seattle Kraken. But the Hawks had six more shots on goal than Seattle. I mean, I think their placement was good, but this is still a team that's dealing with a lot of injuries and just a lot of youth on their roster. They're relying on a lot of guys that other hockey teams typically wouldn't be relying on, and that includes the goaltender. Again, it wasn't the luckiest game for Soderblom tonight, but it wasn't his best game either. This isn't the showing that we've seen from the last three starts from Arvid Soderblom, which I was kind of very excited to see how he'd perform tonight after his three starts that he could maybe get on a little bit of a roll and have an opportunity to get some redemption against the Seattle Kraken. We got some sound from Joey Anderson. He scored the first goal for the Hawks tonight. Unfortunately, one of only two goals for the Hawks in this 6-2 loss. Let's hear from the Blackhawks forward.
It's just not good enough defensively. I think we had more chances tonight to score, but you can't give up the stuff we were giving up defensively tonight. It's just repetitive, you know. But just not good enough defensively. I mean, the looks we're giving them up all night, you can't give those up and trade for offense. It's got to come the right way, and tonight we just didn't do it for long enough.
It seems like the F3s have been pretty good the past few weeks, and there are just a couple times that kind of got lost a little bit tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before the game. They're a team that likes to fly guys. Once they get the possession, they take off, and you know, we just didn't do a good enough job staying above their third guy and getting back, and you know, even their fourth man in the rush, their D like to get involved, and it just wasn't good enough tonight from us getting back and you know, keeping them to the outside. You know, it's just soft defensively.
Joey Anderson just totally disagreeing with my last statement, talking about the defense and pointing out the Hawks doing a poor job of that. Also, it's worth noting what he said about the speed of the Seattle Kraken. That's kind of been one of their most dangerous MOs over the past couple of years. They're just a fast, fluid offense. They're one of those teams that don't have top-level talent. And I mean that in a way that they're a very complete team. They're a deep team. They're not relying on one or two guys. They got a lot of different guys that can pitch in, and that's a big reason of their success last season, because everyone was clicking so much. And you know, they're having some success this year. They're not quite hitting the quota that they probably would like to after making the playoffs and setting the expectations a little bit higher, but they are still a streaky team, and I think their offense was on full display still tonight. We've got more sound to get to. Philip Kurashev talked with the media, so did Luke Richardson, and we'll also take calls and text 312-981-7200. Really quick, Joey Anderson is our player with the most heart tonight, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. We'll hear from Philip Kurashev and Luke Richardson when we come back. Hawks fall to the Kraken 6-2. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Molino in the left wing corner. Put it out to Jones' left point. The Vlasic deep slot over to Jones' left point again. The curse at the Molino. We shoot the scores! It's a power play goal, and the Hawks get one back. 10 seconds it took them. And Molino redirects this one into the back of the Kraken net. Bada boom, bada bing. A power play goal for the Hawks, and it's now 4-2 Seattle.
Nice to see Nick Foligno get back on the score sheet, his second game back since coming back from an injury. He's also now got 10 shots on goal total over his last two games since coming off injured reserve. 7 in that game against the Vancouver Canucks, 3 tonight against the Seattle Kraken. But this game does go the Kraken way, 6-2 the final out in Seattle. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. From the 312 area code, bad luck only explains so much. The frustration all around is palpable. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, believe me, I'm just pointing out that there was bad luck. I'm not blaming the loss on the bad luck. It just was not the Hawks game all around in multiple different circumstances. I tweeted it out and kind of said it earlier. The microcosm of the game was the Ryan Donato breakaway that did not go in, and then Seattle turned it into a scoring chance, and Tomas Tatar scored on Arvid Soderblom, making it 5-2 Seattle. Had Donato scored that goal, it would have been a 4-3 game. And we'll actually give Joey Decord, the Seattle goaltender, tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by ComEd Financial Assistance Programs. Philip Kurashev chatted with the media. Let's hear from the other Blackhawks forward.
Yeah, it's tough. I think we had some good stretches, but it's not good enough. I think we give up the chances we give up. It's pretty much free. They just get them, and it's not going to work.
Did you feel the weight of, I think this was 18 straight road losses? Does that weigh on the team?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's hard, especially on the road. I think we sometimes come out a little bit flatter than at home, so we gotta work on that to get better starts, and then I think that's going to help us.
It seemed like the power play had some things clicking tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see finally one go in. But yeah, it's we got to do more. We get a lot of power play every game, so we got to do more for the opportunities we get.
Do you feel bad for Soderblom? Is, you know, his start seemed to coincide when you guys kind of take a step back.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, the goals that we give up, it's yeah, I don't think you can do much on those. It's we got to do a better job for him. It's we can't give up those free chances, the breakaways and all of that, and just the odd man rushes all the time. So we got to do a better job, and then I'm sure he'll be good for us.
Philip Kurashev picked up an assist in this game as the Hawks fall to Seattle 6-2. One more break, and then we'll hear from Luke Richardson, Hawks post-game show on 720 WGN.
Columbus in, back to the left wing point. Darnay across to Kulak. He'll shoot off the post. The rebound, Merzlikins scores! Evander Kane, after it hit the post, has given the Oilers a 2-1 lead.
Jack Michaels of the Oilers broadcast team, the Edmonton Oilers, the hottest team in the NHL, a 14-game winning streak, host Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow at Rogers Place, Rogers Center, one of those places, as the Hawks, who are currently on an 18-game road losing skid, taking on the hottest team in the NHL. That is our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. It's an 8 o'clock puck drop tomorrow, which means a 7:30 FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show right here on 720 WGN. We're recapping a 6-2 loss for the Hawks against the Seattle Kraken. Let's hear from the Hawks head coach, Luke Richardson.
Well, their goalie played really well, but we're just having trouble burying goals. I thought our power play looked like a power play and really shot the puck well, and you know, we could have got another bounce there, that would have been great, but you know, for us, like, they had one that went off their shin pad that was going 2 feet wide, and then one off our foot and off our goalie's leg. So if we could get one of those one of these games, it would just give us maybe a little bit of a boost. But you know, I think sometimes we got to be better as well. Like, I thought we had a really okay start, and then we have a D-zone faceoff win and we don't get it out and it's in our net, and then you know, another kind of miscue in the first period that's in our net. So we can't play like two or three good shifts and have one bad one. So we got to make sure we're more consistent, and that's what we've been trying to do all year, and that's what we're not there yet.
The Donato breakaway stop followed by that's the season right there, right?
Yeah, that's a momentum breaker there. You know, I mean, I think it was rolling on him quite a bit all the way down the ice, but the goalie played well. He played really well, and then Tatar came down and put it in our net, so that takes a little bit of wind out of the sails there for sure.
What happened exactly? It was kind of hard to tell kind of how Tatar got that break.
I think he was dragging behind on the way back, and I think Kevin made a change, came on the ice, and probably wanted to switch to get onto the left side, but you just got to play your position at that point until you get sorted out. So, you know, Tatar just kind of hung around behind him. And we kind of let the guys know, like, if they get change of possession, they will blow the zone. So we're aware of it. We just kind of were, you know, we missed it for about 2 or 3 seconds, and that's all it takes.
Seemed like there were some tough moments for Alex Vlasic in particular, the second goal by Schwartz. Is there anything he should have done differently?
You mean the one, the second goal in the first period, you mean?
Yeah.
Vlasic does so many good things, and he did, you know, even drawing that penalty in the third period, because he's such a good skater. You know, he does such a good, so many good things, that, and it covers up for so many people, other miscues that, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if he can do too much more. Right? He's probably minus three on the game sheet, but I don't think he's directly responsible for any of the goals.
On that own goal, you want to see Seth kind of rimming around, I guess?
It's a tough pop play. I think he's trying to give it to Dickinson there, and it goes off Vlasic's foot. But that's a tough play. It's kind of against the flow when you do that play. I don't know. I think sometimes we have to be a little more comfortable hold on to pucks down in those corners until we have an out. And maybe sometimes it's a little bump off the wall behind our net and use the weak side. And, you know, at times we've been good at that this year, and at times we're a little bit rushed to make a play. But Seth, I thought, played really well tonight. I thought he shot the puck really well tonight, especially in the power play. And, you know, it led to, you know, some good chances and obviously a good goal, because they really zipped around on that last power play.
Two sets of numbers I wanted to point out. I said earlier, a 6-2 loss for this Hawks team. The number one star ends up being the other team's goalie. That shows you how many chances the Hawks had offensively. Also, power play has been looking a lot better the past couple of days. 8 shots on goal with 1 power play goal tonight. 10 in the last game, so 18 power play shots on goal for this Hawks team over the last 2 games. Definitely a good trend. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help we had here at the WGN studios, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Colin McCarthy. They were led by our engineer, the captain, the tireless, Krista Flores, also receives some help from Brett Jackson here. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call out in Seattle. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand signing off. Again, a 6-2 loss for the Hawks against the Seattle Kraken. James Sears has your news next. After that, it's Raleigh James. We will talk to you tomorrow night when the Hawks visit the Edmonton Oilers. Actually, tonight when the Hawks visit Edmonton. Have a great rest of your Thursday, everybody. We'll talk to you later tonight.